President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Well, welcome to the Inside Hour. Reverend Roxy says it's her night off, by the way. You know what day it is, you know what time it is. I'm Dr. Len Horowitz, your host for the Inside Hour. Thanks for joining us every Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Pacific, we're on. And I understand that from Don Newsom, whose birthday it is, the mover and shaker in BBSRadio.com, who we are grateful to for putting so much love and effort into bringing this network to the Internet and to the airways, albeit they limited at this point. We need your support out there to get more BBS radio broadcasts onto your local AM and FM stations. Don Newsom's birthday. So, first of all, besides giving it up to the Creator for tonight, I want to thank the Creator, of course, for all the great blessings in this holiday season, for all the joy and the wonderful family opportunities that we have to spend with our children and grandchildren and all of the friends and family that we bring into our lives throughout the year, especially at this time of the holiday season. I want to give the Creator thanks for the joy of being alive to experience the joy of family and community. So thanks to Creator for doing all that for us, for you, for me, for our families, and for Don Newsom, whose birthday it is. So, Don, happy birthday. May you be blessed with not just health and prosperity in this coming year, but that this year for you becomes a year that all of the doors to the kingdom of heaven open to you. And in fact, why don't we do it for everybody listening, celebrating Don Newsom's birthday? The doors of heaven open up, and that all of the, not only just revelations, but the resources come to bring fruit to all of your labors of love. And that all of these blessings easily, joyfully, prosperously manifest for you, for the BBS Radio Network, and for the benefit of humanity, as well as your family. In Yasha's name, I praise you. The Creator, praise you, Creator, and for administering all these blessings. So, folks, thanks for joining us every Tuesday night for the Inside Hour. You know, it's typically we share the worst of the worst news going on the planet with a lot of commentary and advice, prescriptions for preparing yourselves, your temples, your bodies to defend itself against the current and coming plagues, to become aware and do something about the political actions that are taking place that are decimating our freedoms, civil rights, religious, even convictions. We've talked about in the past shows vaccination, toxicities, tuberculosis, skin test problems, the manipulations of the populations, and literally the decimation of the populations through intoxications of petrochemicals and pharmaceuticals that are now increasingly required. A few weeks ago, we had a horrible experience. We had approximately 2,000 families in Maryland cited by the court, ordered to bring their children in for vaccinations, compelling them to intoxicate the children's bloodstreams. We're witnessing these hideous reality of Nazi America unfolding before our eyes. If you're my age, you've witnessed this increasing totalitarian fascist manipulation of the population and the psychosocial, the psyops, psychological indoctrination through the mass-mediated manipulations that cause us to think that popping magic pills and injecting our bloodstreams with foreign RNA and DNA and drugs and chemicals is going to protect us somehow and substitute, be a good substitute for faith and trust in the Creator. And that's loony, and that's totally insane, and I know that that's what you might think if you're a common listener to the Inside Hour, but the reality is that the masses, the mass of men who lead lives of quiet desperation out there, think that that's wonderful and think that that's modern medicine and that modern medicine has been so supportive in protecting our health and safety. And meanwhile, it's just the opposite. Centers for Disease Control is actually Centers for Disease Creation. And the manipulation and intoxication of the population has occurred mostly through vaccination. It's not immunization, it's a falsehood. That term has been falsely substituted. And most of you probably, even if you're seasoned intelligence buffs or seasoned insight program listeners, know that this word does not mean vaccination. Immunization is actually a natural process whereby your body naturally becomes immune to infectious diseases. When you become exposed normally through, for example, the oral route with polio, that's a natural process. Of course, it wasn't so good when you got the polio vaccine in the sugar cube that carried with it approximately 100 cancer viruses per dose. And that now we wonder where our cancer pandemic has come from. Sure, it's related to the petrochemical pharmaceutical intoxication of the environment, but it's also related to the foods we've eaten. But mostly importantly, it's been in the absolute violation of the Creator's prohibitions in the Bible that says to keep the blood pure and keep the seed from being mixed. That's Leviticus 19:19. Go check it out. We're not supposed to be injecting into our children's bloodstreams foreign RNA, foreign DNA from bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryo, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues, and with the smallpox vaccine, cowpox. But that's modern medicine, and it's not immunization that takes place. It's called hypersensitization when you really study the science and understand what's taking place as you inject these foreign bodies, proteins, and foreign genetic materials from all these other sources in direct violation of Leviticus 19:19. So this concept that the bad news is that we've got a population reduction unfolding. The bad news is that those who are not in the know, those who don't listen to the Inside Hour, those that don't listen to Fred Bell, that don't listen to hosts on BBS Radio, don't listen to Reverend Roxy Hampton's show on Sunday night called Mission Possible, don't listen to my friend whose show follows this program, Don. Listen to Don after the Inside Hour. You'll find out that the global petrochemical pharmaceutical cartel has targeted you, along with two out of every three of us, for elimination. And that the most profitable way to conduct global genocide, that is, by the way, the definition of genocide, strictly defined as the mass killing of people or enslaving of people for profit, politics, or ideology, is this vaccination business, not immunization, not natural immunity induction. This is blood chemistry intoxication and population decimation through disease induction about which we are speaking. So that's the bad news. The bad news is that about two-thirds of us are on our way out, unknowingly, unwittingly, victims of the global genocide. The best news is awesome. It's heralded in the book, Love, the Real Da Vinci Code. For those of you who like a little bit more science, read the book, DNA, Pirates of the Sacred Spiral. Get the book, Walk on Water. Both of those books are a bit technical, but the beauty of them is provided whereby you begin to realize that we are spiritual beings. A few years ago, I had the tragedy of going to Africa. I call it a tragedy because it took me about 3 weeks to recover. If you know me, you know I write a lot. I'm a investigative journalist. I do a lot of writing. I couldn't write for 3 weeks. I was totally devastated by the time I got back witnessing the genocide. But there was one wonderful ray of hope that I saw in that, and I experienced firsthand in a community of about 1.2 million in Kenya ghetto with one physician. Can you imagine one doctor there from Australia, volunteer Christian doctor, with his two sons and his wife there, stationed there by their own free will in this massive tragedy, this incredible poverty, and this horrible pandemic of AIDS decimating the population, causing at least 50% of the children to be parentless, that in this community, the spirit, the souls, that energy of love and joy was alive and well, even in those children. I wish my children could have seen that. I really do. My children, like your children, they fight over all sorts of things. They think that it's so important to, you know, get their lollipops, and if they don't get it or one steals it from the other, they think that that's a big tragedy, and they cry and they scream and they yell. Wouldn't it be a blessing for your children and mine, especially during this holiday season where we're to give thanks for all the joys that we're receiving constantly from the freely flow of air that we breathe that sustains us and uplifts us, to the water that replenishes us and our spirits, that our children might experience and witness true devastation or true elimination of resources or scarcity and being impoverished like that. They might begin to realize the value of things that we hold, and that what's really important in life. So for this holiday season, I know that that's a really important thing that is a blessing that I'm experiencing with my family, and I pray that you are too, that the family time together will be spent realizing the joy and all of the prosperity that we, even in this fascist state of America, currently becoming completely totalitarian, that even in Africa we can see that as a model for who we really are as spirit-filled beings, and that the sustenance and the power and the joy and the love and the divinity within us, that that's what shines through the eyes of the poor African children. I witnessed that, and I pray that you don't have to, but I pray that you take to heart what it is that I'm sharing now as really the real reality. So the great news is that this energy, this spirit of divinity that courses through our bloodstreams and uplifts us and sustains us, is freely available and musically and mathematically mediated. Get Love the Real Da Vinci Code. You can go to lovetherealdavincicode.com. If you haven't already read the book, get it, because it's got some very simple exercises. In fact, I put the book online. You can get a free download, free read of the whole thing on the PDF file download right from realdavincicode.com. Most people who read that end up ordering the book. It's $23 and change, and thank you for purchasing it in advance. I thank you because that purchase sustains our ministry. It sustains this type of programming. It sustains us continuing to do our work, our labors of love. And that, you know, it gives us a purpose in life. If you sustain us, then we have a purpose and a mission in life. And that's what life really is about in terms of family, extended family, community. It's the fabric that binds humanity together, is this service motive, a desire to share and care for other people in a meaningful way. What a better time of the year to really get in touch with that value, that high essence value of life, of self-actualization, to be able to realize that my worth, my net value comes directly as a function of how good and how well I serve you. And so the concept of there being mathematical exercises that Leonardo da Vinci understood and practiced, that for him opened him up to become this incredible creative genius, that there were specific musical notes, specific frequencies of sound, the perfect circle of sound is what Vitruvian man standing in. Actually, it's the Vitruvian woman. The woman behind the man. You don't see her face. You see his face. He's angry. She's behind him. This is, of course, in the four arms, four legs, and a head image that you see is the most famous icon for natural healing and holistic living. It's called The Vitruvian Man by Leonardo da Vinci. The man is stuck in the box of earthly limitation. He's in the bad news. He's got a grimace on his face. He's actually grimacing at you, the viewer of him. He's angry. Now, you can imagine Leonardo da Vinci, in being as precise as he was in his art, that he would not create a man that's represented by art historians as being in balance with the total environment, that he would not be angry. Just like the arts image, the frowning face and the smiling face, one right next to the other, in back of that angry-faced man is a woman in bliss. She has had the wisdom to step out of the bad news. She's had the wisdom to step out of the box, the Babylonian box of lunacy and insanity, into the kingdom of heaven, which is represented by the circle of sound. That circle in Da Vinci's Vitruvian drawing represents the circle of sound. And that circle of sound is essential for everybody to realize that we are the musical, mathematical, precipitation, crystallization, harmonic vibration of divine frequency vibration. And that circle of sound is right here, right now. Yeah, I know you can't hear it, but you know what? Your DNA can. Your DNA is an antenna to the Creator. And if you read the book DNA Pirates of the Sacred Spiral and or the book Walk on Water, you'll get the full appreciation and understanding that this DNA, this sacred spiral, this spiraling matrix of amino acids and sugars, that all that molecular structuring is a sacred geometric form. Just like the galaxies are spiraling, so is your antenna to the Creator, your DNA. And that spiral, that sacred spiral, is what allows the light and the sound signals to come in from the heavenly domain. And courses it does through the God in you. Part of the triune God is water. Water. H2O. Hydrogen. Two atoms of hydrogen, one of oxygen. Part of, in the beginning, there was the Creator, the Word, sound, frequency, mathematics. Frequency is mathematics. In the beginning, there was the Creator, His language, mathematics. And there was the water. It was there from the beginning. And that water is inside you and I. And so the great thankfulness and the understanding of this time of the year, this time of the season for holiday celebration, and the anticipation of the new year where we turn a new leaf and start life anew, to refresh ourselves and realize that we are the chosen people. We are the divine sources of the inspiration that Da Vinci held, the genius that Da Vinci channeled and manifested in his glorious labors of love, in his vision, in his prophetic understanding and understanding of where we would be 500 years in the future with technology development. This understanding came from his communion divine, his entrainment to this heavenly matrix. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. That universal consciousness is not contingent upon time, timelessness, time-space relativity. That the future can be seen right now when you're entrained and communing and connected to that loving space. And I say loving space because the third note in that circle, approximately where the heart is of the Vitruvian man in that drawing. The third note to the left of where this image is, clockwise, it's approximately at the 230 position. And you see that that is the heart chakra. That's the heart vortex of love. Green chakra. And that that is the 528 frequency, the third note of the original musical scale. Like not do, re, mi, it's ut, re, mi. Mi stands for miragestorum in Latin, miracles in English. And to love the real Da Vinci Code, the book goes into the fact that providing the first scientific and as well as scriptural evidence for the fact that the center of your heart is connected to the center of the universe through this perfect circle of sound, through this electromagnetic, musical, mathematical matrix, this incredible matrix. And just do some research on that word. It occurs about four or five times in the Bible. Moses was bade the knowledge and the information and blessing by the Creator to open up everything, that be blessed with everything, that open up the matrix in all things, in all flesh particularly. And that blessing of understanding, of opening the matrix, opens up the kingdom of heaven for every single one of us. And that, so really, if you're diseased, if you've got a sickness, or some sort of a plague operating, that's not of the Creator. Creator is not the source of dis-ease, not the source of confusion, not the source of all sorts of craziness. There's nothing missing, nothing broken in the heavenly domain, in the Creator's perfect circle of sound. Likewise, in that musical, mathematical matrix, it's all perfect. And so all you really need, if you're dis-eased in any way, whether it's psychological, whether it's emotional, a lot of people get depressed this time of the year because of the lack of light, mostly, lack of good sunlight. You need that hydrogen infusion, that energetic operation, electron transfer, an electron flow from the hydrogen in the sun's energy through the light that comes into your body and your pineal gland. And then assimilates through all sorts of mechanisms in your own body in the Krebs cycle to ultimately breed energy and give you life and restore your life that way, life force that way. But the mathematics and the music strongly suggest that all you need is a tune-up. If you're depressed at this time of the year, if you're sick in any way, whether it's cold or cancer that you're dealing with, all you really need is a tune-up. Again, since there's nothing missing, nothing broken in the kingdom of heaven, all you need to do is bring heaven to earth in your Holy Spirit-filled temple. And how do you do that? Well, the best, most powerful way isn't machine technology. It's not even biotechnology. It's musical technology. It's your verbal vocal technology. Remember, how does the Creator create? How does the Creator create? Through the spoken word. How do your children create? Creator's children create by the spoken word. The sixth note in this perfect circle of sound is do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. La is actually ut, re, mi, fa, sol, la. La stands for la viaratum in Latin. So the third note, ut re mi, miragestorum in Latin, miracles in English. That's the miracle note. That's the miracle six note. That is the reason it's MI6, British Secret Service, the killing machine, the Gestapo of the Illuminati. They took that name on as a perversion of the sacred understanding and the mathematics that have been suppressed for millennia. They know the power of this math. They have a complete understanding of the power, what sources us, and they are using in these end times the most advanced bio-spiritual warfare mechanisms and technologies to manipulate, coerce, and enslave and kill populations at will. So therefore, it's not anything to get depressed about. The truth shall set you free. Shall means no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Shall means that you shall survive and thrive if you know, engage, and act on the truth. So the great glory in this understanding, in this revelation of the musical mathematics of divinity blessing humanity, is the understanding of not just physical salvation, but spiritual evolution is a function of musical mathematics articulated by the labia rhythm, the lips. That means, in a nutshell, very simply, that your voice, your human voice, is the most powerful healing instrument on the planet. Yes, indeed, I encourage you, completely encourage you. It is time for holiday gift giving. Well, I've given you a gift at In Lies We Trust. Go to InLiesWeTrust.com and you can get a 2.5 hour documentary that's freely downloadable. You can view the whole thing either in 16 parts on YouTube or fully, completely, all 2.5 hours straight out over the internet on Google. Hopefully we'll be soon adding it to MySpace, but right now you can get In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and bioterrorism for free as a free gift. But I'm going to encourage you to do more than that. I'm going to encourage you to call this toll-free number. Take a pencil out. Make sure you get this number or go online. Toll-free 888-508-4787. Toll-free 888-508-4787. And order Scott Huckabee's entire set of CDs, music, that he brilliantly performs in the perfect circle of sound. And surround yourself throughout this holiday season and forevermore in the Creator's music, not man's music. See what that does to restore and uplift you, to heal you. It is extremely powerful. If you've listened to the Insight Hour in the past, you know I've highly recommended many, many times the most powerful healing CD on the planet is Jonathan Goldman's Holy Harmony CD, where the Hebrew letters of the Messiah's real name, Yod-Heh-Shin-Vav-Heh, Yahshua, are sung to these tones, these complete 9 tones that we have tuning forks that you can use it for healing. A lot of people are in massage therapy sessions or physical therapy sessions, particularly over certain acupuncture points or energy meridians. They are intuiting and or somehow gaining the understanding that the frequencies of certain tuning forks can balance chakras. And they're using the tuning fork set, the Holy Harmony tuning fork set. Now, here's how to get that. Again, toll-free 888-508-4787 will get you to Healthy World Store. Or you can go online to healthyworlddistributing.com. healthyworlddistributing.com. And order Scott Huckabee's CDs if you haven't already purchased them. If you want to really bless somebody who's ailing, get them Holy Harmony CD by Jonathan Goldman. Those CDs are $19.25 and worth a lot more. So they make fabulous holiday gifts. There's not really too much anything better, in fact, that I could highly recommend to you this holiday season than that simple and expensive gift to retune ourselves to the core creative frequencies of the universe that have been given to us. Again, the truth shall set us free, the knowledge, the revelation. The Creator would never, ever leave you, a humble servant of the boss, never leave you without the necessary requirements for your sustenance, for your salvation, and for your spiritual evolution. The evolution in consciousness, the spiritual renaissance that many of us are experiencing with our friends. We've spent many, many hours of the Insight Hour show talking about how it is that prayers are manifesting more quickly than ever. Little miracles and big miracles alike are happening for us. We're in that age, we're in that time that's been prophesied as the end times, and the end times are the beginning times, and it's a new beginning for our spiritual selves. that soul, that spirit that is readily apparent in the eyes and in the attitudes of the African children who have lost both parents. It is non-destroyable by things in the physical world. It is not limited by the box of earthly captivity, of sexuality, of all the perversions that take us away from our divinity. Nothing can stop that power because it's the source of the universe. Again, think about it. We're talking about the core creative frequencies, sounds of the universe, the entire universe, everything physical, from the tiny sands on the beach to the billions of stars that you see in a magnificent place like the islands of Hawaii, to look up and see and realize that what we're really looking at is a macrocosm virtually identical to the microcosm that exists in every single cell and atom throughout your entire body. Every atom with its subatomic particles, all sorts of amazing stars within stars, galaxies within spinning galaxies. That's what we're really talking about here. And so imagine that it all comes from music. It all comes from the master conductor, master composer of this universal orchestra sitting on the heavenly throne in the kingdom of heaven, which is the musical mathematical matrix of this extremely ordered, orderly, lawful universe. And that you can either be in the law or an outlaw. You can either be keeping right standing, such as the righteous, right standing within the law, that is within the musical mathematical flow. You're in the flow, so that ultimately then all the synchronicities happen, because it is not your will be done, it is the Creator's will being done, and you're simply living your life miraculously, magically, as a humble servant of the boss, doing your thing for human service. And guess what happens? Being in with the flow, you're surfing the life wave, the grand universal life wave, which includes joy. Again, nothing missing, nothing broken. By the way, the two essential emotions of the Creator, demonstrated by this music, in fact, virtually proven by these revelations, the two primary emotions of the Creator are love and joy. And if you're not in step with that, if you're not right standing in that, or if you're sinful, that sin means, from the Greek archery term, to be off the mark. When you shot your arrow in the ancient Greek days, and your arrow didn't hit the bullseye, it was called a sin. If you're off the mark, if you're not in step, you're not right standing in that musical mathematical kingdom of heaven, abiding by the law, then you are in sin and you are out of the flow. You will not be blessed. You will have cursed yourself. Judgment and justice is rendered in this miraculous musical mathematical matrix automatically by divine design. And so you begin to realize, holy smoke, life is really simple. We've just been miseducated. We've been dumbed down. We've been manipulated into ignorance. It starts from the whack in your butt that you received when you came out of the womb. Trauma-based, fear-based learning. That's insane. Compare that to my little boy, Aaron, who's now 8 years old, was born in water in a birthing tank in our bedroom, Jackie's bedroom. Jackie gave birth to Aaron. And he didn't cry for 4.5 hours after birth. He mostly floated in the water with a smile on his face. It wasn't until the midwife came over with a cold stethoscope. About 4.5 hours later, she put this cold stethoscope on his chest, and he didn't like that so much. It was a little bit, you know, it wasn't warm fuzzies for sure, and he started to whimper a little bit. Now, compare that to the whack in the butt that you receive in these insane concentration camps, death facilities called hospitals. The incredible manner in which you are treated insensitively and inhumanly, intoxicated and drugged and vaccinated, even before your immune systems are functioning optimally, they're injecting these neonates with hepatitis B vaccine. Excuse me, if that's not a revelation of genocide, I don't know what is, given the fact that hepatitis B is by far a blood-borne pathogen, sexually transmitted disease. That accounts for about 96% of all of the hepatitis B infections, and only about 4% of them result from needle sticks or, if you're an idiot, a needle-sharing behavior by drug abusers. Now, I don't see any neonates listed in those percentages. So when you realize, guess what? Neonates, 12-hour-old infants whose immune systems aren't even mature yet, receiving hepatitis B vaccines, a series of three of them before they even let them out of the hospital. You got to get this, they tell you. And people who are so ignorant and are not aware of the truth that shall set them free and don't realize you have a religious exemption in most states available to you and don't exercise that religious freedom and the civil right granted intelligently by our constitutional formers in this once great nation, the United States of America, to become a great nation again if we would ever wake up. The reality is that this is genocide, and without the truth and without the fortitude to act on the truth, if you're a wimp and you don't stand up for your own rights, and you don't educate yourself as an intelligent human being, then you know what you get? As you sow, so shall you reap. You get slam dunked. So you want to slam dunk yourself, or you want to live your life miraculously, manifesting the glory of the kingdom of heaven, coursing through your water, your electrogenetic body, your Holy Spirit-filled temple. That's what does all the healing. Obviously it does. Think about it. People are insane. Modern medical madness is absolutely insane. You got to think about this for a second. You know this thing called a placebo, don't you? It's a proof that modern medicine is absolutely genocidal and nothing more. It is a total scam, except for the surgeons who will, you know, have the art and the technique to piece you together when you've been really traumatized and broken up in an accident. Those guys and gals are worth their weight in gold. But the drug pushers, they should be tarred and feathered. Gee whiz. Think about it. The proof of this is this whole concept of placebo. You know that drugs, all drugs are measured against a placebo. 30% effective. Placebo, a sugar pill, nothing. Just a suggestion, the faith and trust placed, faith and trust. It was Yeshua, Jesus, who said, it is by your faith and trust that you are saved, that you are healed. And he said it wasn't in him. Don't give me the credit, he said. Give it to the boss. So by your faith and trust, you're healed. Now you think about this. You put your faith and trust in a sugar pill, and what happens? 30% of terminally ill cancer patients miraculously recover by placebo. Take the opposite, called a nocebo, additional proof, obvious evidence that medicine is a complete scam. Total manipulation, profitable, depopulation control, operation. Think about it. A nocebo is the opposite of placebo. A nocebo is where you take a room full of 100 healthy people and you tell that room full of 100 healthy people that they have AIDS or a terminal illness such as cancer, and that their life expectancy is perhaps 3 weeks or 3 months. And whatever you tell them with authority in a white lab coat and a stethoscope around your neck, the medical deity speaks. Whatever you tell them, 30% of those people are going to die precisely at the time you tell them that they're going to die. That's called nocebo. That's putting, sadly, your faith and trust in a con artist. Now, of course, obviously, medical doctors and nurses serving in the health arena have no clue that they're serving as virtual Manchurian candidates for the Rockefeller-directed military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel. They never heard of the Rockefeller family's manipulation of public health back in the 1920s and 30s, the creation through the Rockefeller Empire and the Rothschilds of Europe and the Whitneys and the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts and the wealthy elite, the eugenics, genetics movement that predated Hitler's racial hygiene program, funded Hitler's racial hygiene program, funded the building of Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Eugenics, Anthropology, and Human Heredity in pre-Nazi Germany, and instilled Ernst Rudin as its director, along with Margaret Sanger, its great public relations person. Family planning, anyone? Comes right out of the eugenics industry. So that the reality is that today, Kaiser Permanente, the nation, the United States, is, and perhaps the world's leading vaccine testing organization, is at the forefront of the global genocide, and medical doctors and nurses have no clue about this history, this factual reality. So, the bad news, get in lies we trust, that's my gift. The great news is that we've recovered everything that you need to become sane and become aware and awake and operate in the truth and operate in the love and operate in the light. To dispel the darkness of deception and the manipulation. To stop the decimation of the population, the global genocide. How best are we going to accomplish that? Well, go online to www.liveh2o.org. The Concert for the Living Waters, liveh2o.org, has been seeded. The information about which I speak, that is the perfect circle of sound, is the fulfillment of the book of Revelations 14:1 through 14:3, the singing of the new song by 144,000 humble servants of the Creator who somehow in this age of technology are about to gather. Whether it's over the internet, wouldn't you like to be one of the 144,000 internet activists who sing with your own voice the 528 hertz frequency of sound so that combined, technically, and Don Newsom talked about this the other day with Reverend Roxy Hampton on our show on the Inside Hour, we talked about, and Don Nikoloff was on the air with us too. He's coming up next after the Inside Hour, 10 p.m. Pacific time, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Listen to Don Nikoloff, a good friend and colleague who is on the same page as we are, understanding this technology and advancing our spirituality. That all we need to do nowadays is get together over the internet. So you imagine 144,000 of us gathering for the Beginning Times concert for the 144,000 as per Revelation 14:1-3, singing a new song with the Creator's tones. I believe, based on all the evidence I'm looking at, that what it is that I'm heralding right here, right now, is the key to the house of David. Read Isaiah, I think it's 22:22. Read how somebody guided by the angel of Philadelphia, thankfully I was born in the city of brotherly love, comes along in the end times and provides the key to the house of David that unlocks the doors to the kingdom of heaven. And once open, those doors, nobody can close it. Opens doors that no man can close, it does. That's what the key does. Jesus is said to have held the key, inspired him, made him what he became, what he still is. And that the reality is that this key is extremely powerful. Key to the royalty of the house of David, I believe, is the 528 love frequency in this perfect circle of sound concept that the new song that we will sing, that we shall sing, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, it shall be sung. Creator's right time, we're engaging right now with your prayers. I'm going to ask you tonight to pray for the right time that the Creator will provide with all the resources coming to us to create this concert for the 144,000. And it will be sung, in my opinion, to the waters of the world. That's why it's called Live H2O. When you realize the divinity, that is not just the sacred geometry, the tetrahedron structure of molecular water, but how oxygen and hydrogen combine in this miraculous fluid, in this incredible structure that allows for consciousness to be mediated. Dr. Emoto, good friend Masaru Emoto, Japanese water scientist, if you're not familiar with his wonderful books, get them online at that website I told you about earlier, www.healthyworldstore.com. Healthyworldstore.com will get you to the book section. Look up Dr. Masaru Emoto's books called The Message in Water. Love Thyself is the subtitle of one of them. Sure, you love yourself, and you're actually loving Creator, because inside of you is that H2O, that miraculous water structure that's resonating, that love frequency vibration 528. And the more we can put that love frequency vibration into the water, whether it be by our voices or whether it be by our technologies, such as the right frequency generators and all sorts of ways for us to put sound into matter and move matter, like cymatics, through sound frequency vibrations. We do that with water. Water is what? Again, part of the triune God. That's why it responds to prayer, just like God. That's why it has messages for you, unique ones, that reflect this extraordinary capacity of water to communicate. It is a superconductor of energy. That's why dolphins and whales can sing all the way around the world from Hawaii or elsewhere, because water, the oceans, is a superconductor of sound frequency vibration. That's simple mathematics. Of course it is. God is that way. Read the book Walk on Water. Get the book also Healing Celebrations, Miraculous Recoveries Through Ancient Scripture, Natural Medicine, and Modern Science, and read about how miraculous water is. Most people's sicknesses and diseases are simply lacking water. Dehydration takes the God out of you. And so does oxygenation, H2O, oxygen, takes the God out of you. Element number 8, the Creator's number, the infinity sign, element number 8. But this concept that water, the frequency of vibrations put into it, has the capacity to superconduct and supertransmit universally. And that's so because NASA scientists determined that only 8 years ago, around the year 2000, NASA scientists proved that space is not a vacuum as we once believed, all sorts of stupid things we were taught. Ignorance is not bliss. It's deadly today. The truth shall set you free. Ignorance is optimally enslaving and poisoning. And this concept that the universe is not a vacuum totally full of water means that what the dolphins and whales are doing singing internationally on Earth, so it manifests and connects to heaven. So it connects to the extent, the farthest reaches of this amazing spiraled universe. That's exactly right. And to the extent that your genetics, your electrogenetic expression, your DNA's expression and function and manifestation of all of your body physical is coming from sound frequency vibrations mediated through the water matrix, that structured or clustered water matrix. Read the book Walk on Water. Read the book Healing Celebrations. You'll get this full appreciation of what I'm talking about here. The fact that your DNA is being manipulated and mutated, just like all of the agricultural and biotechnologies and the GMOs and genetically modified organisms. Every single time, the sacred spiral, as it is above so below, is manipulated, mutated, hybridized, recombined, and poisoned, destroyed in its sacred geometry, in its natural evolution, in its natural spiral and sacred geometric structure. Every time that happens on the microcosmic level, it expresses macrocosmically. That is, it expresses to the farthest reaches of the universe. So, that means if there's an alien presence somewhere else in the universe, if there are extraterrestrial beings, and many people believe, and I'm one of them, believes that there are, the likelihood that they are currently on Earth because of the necessity and the distress signaling that has been going out to the farthest reaches of the universe every time a Rockefeller, Rothschild directed, and George Soros, David Rockefeller manipulated human genome project industrialist modifies, mutates, hybridizes, causes the modification of the sacred geometric form of DNA. It's sending literally distress signals out to the farthest extent of the universe, and that the alien presence is in response to that. I understand that there's a lot of spiritual beings and entities that are working on our behalf where we can't see them, feel them, smell them, but they're actually operating there in the multiple dimensions beyond our three-dimensional space. And that in that, engaged in that spiritual warfare that they are, which is ultimately what many of our destinies include. When we pass, that's my belief, that we're going to enter into this additional realm of operation. You know, we've got three-dimensional space here in this deceptive environment we call planet Earth. There are at least 9 other dimensions. In fact, scientists have discovered, I believe it is at this point, 26, might be 27. 7 and 2 is 9. That's completion. 9 is completion in the ancient mystery school Pythagorean math. And that's what the perfect circle of sound and the creator's mathematics is based on, is this musical mathematics of this 9-number system. 10, the 0, is a placeholder. There's only 9 numbers in the universe. So the perfect circle of sound connecting us to the kingdom of heaven, everything in the universe is operating, spiraling, moving through this, because of the sound, moving through this matrix. And so the Word is the Creator. The Word is the water. The water is the Word. You understand it? This is now the metaphysical understanding of how the entire universe operates, with you included as an integral part of that perfection. And there's nothing missing, nothing broken in you that can't be repaired by the power and the glory of that Word, that sound, that frequency, that divinity. Available to humanity now more than ever before because of these revelations. The key to the house of David. The key to open the doors, the portals, to the spiritual domain, to allow the blessings from the kingdom of heaven to flow on earth as it should be, to have us step like that wise woman does in the Da Vinci drawing, out of the box of earthly limitation and into this cosmic communion with the Creator. It's about communication, communicating the sound vibrations of divinity, not dumbed down humanity. Forget the albums by Scott Huckabee. Reinforce in your life, in your environment, in your ambient environment, the sounds and frequencies of divinity, and more and more and more, your DNA is going to spiral and spin and move and energize the rest of your body to reflect the divinity within you and the universe at large. That's just the way it is. It's simple. The whole concept involves entrainment. Look up the word entrainment. Entrainment, I've talked about it on the Inside Hour previously. Entrainment is where you take, for example, a dormitory of freshman women, and after a month or two, all their menstrual cycles are in sync. How does that happen? Just like it happens when you take a room full of cuckoo clocks, little cuckoo clocks, and every one of them is set off at a different time, and then you bring a big, huge, heavyweight pendulum grandfather clock into the room, and you set it off in motion, come back a month or so later, and all the little clocks now are in sync with the big heavyweight. How does that happen? It happens by the same way that I'm prescribing for you your miraculous healing, for your engagement in the kingdom of heaven, through the entrainment, the harmonization, the resonance, and the co-conductivity that's operating through all through you as well as the universe at large. I think we're at the end of the Inside Hour. I just got a beep. That means either my good friend Don is joining us. Don, is that you? Nope, could be a glitch in the system. Anyway, you know, I think we're coming to the end of the Inside Hour anyway. I want to thank you folks for listening. It's been another fun-filled, informative hour for me. I hope it has been for you, too. I want to, again, encourage you. Get Scott Huckabee CDs. Surround yourself with this divine music. The harmony of divinity, let it operate inside you, let it restore your energy, your cells. There's nothing missing, nothing broken in the kingdom of heaven, so bring it to you this holiday season. Scott Huckabee CDs are highly recommended. Also, Jonathan Goldman CD, call toll-free 888-508-4787. That's toll-free 888-508-4787. Thanks to bbsradio.com for hosting the Inside Hour. Thanks to tetrahedron.org for all the books, tapes, DVDs that we've been publishing and for your support. And again, stay tuned for...
I'm going to segue right out. You were talking to us about, I should say.
That's awesome.
I'm getting a bit of an echo here, so I apologize if it sounds like stuttering.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like you're coming out of a cave.
Yeah, that digital play, the signal feeding back into the microphone somewhere. Anyway, I'm talking about health a little bit, and also the visitor.
Oh, nice. So, did you have a guest?
The Holy Spirit.
Ah, I love that Holy Spirit guest. That's an awesome guest to have. That's the best guest.
But I enjoyed your show tonight.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad. Glad to hear it. Yeah, I enjoyed sharing it, and I gratefully appreciate all you listeners out there. I know Don said that there were many of you that they were tracking and that are online, and grateful that you were able to join us tonight.
Well, I appreciate that acknowledgement. Should we sing happy birthday to Don?
I think that's totally appropriate and very loving.
I'll jump over to my piano here, so we have a key.
Oh, how nice.
And I'm tuned, pardon the microphone here, I'm moving it around as I speak. I'm tuned to a 528 here, so.
Oh, you retuned your piano to 528?
Oh, yes.
Good for you, brother. See that, folks? Listen to the revolution that we're creating in the music industry. is profound, and you've got to be part of it. You've got to enjoy it. So that's a wonderful thing. If you're home listening right now, why don't you join us? Don, you lead us off. Let's sing Happy Birthday to Don Newsom.
Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Don. Happy birthday to you. Well, I'll tell you what, that wasn't the concert for the 144,000, but I'll take it. Thanks, folks. Have a wonderful evening. Have a great show, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that, Len. I love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, welcome to Evident Footprints. We are, I usually mention the date. I guess this is Don Newsom's birthday. And that's the best way to describe the date. It'll be ingrained in your subconscious minds forever and ever. how old are you, Don, if I may ask that question? You're not a woman, so it's a fair question. No response. He's not going to answer that one. Oh, what do they call that in politics? That's lying by omission.
Actually, bear with me.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm trying to hook in all this at the same time you're trying to ask for me. Bear with me. I'm there.
All right.
Okay. So, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
All right. Well, thank you. It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. They say it's your birthday. Okay, how old are you today, if you don't mind sharing that with us?
Sure. Actually, I'm 39 today.
39? That's a great number.
It's the best. 39 is the best number.
That was Jack Benny's age, too.
Is it?
Remember. Yeah, it was always 39. It was.
This thing's going constantly mono.
In fact, it still is.
I apologize for this. We're having a little bit of difficulty here.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But that delay is gone now, so that's excellent.
Okay.
I think I only need to say what I'm saying tonight once.
It's mono.
So, I want to thank Dr. Horowitz for his message tonight. It's kind of interesting because when I don't have a scheduled guest, I plan to address.
John?
Yes.
I'm going to let you continue your show. We're just trying to figure out some things in the back. Some things are a little bit weird here. We're going mono. The left channel's not working. So let us just work back here. Thank you for the song. I love you. Look forward to your show, and away you go.
All right. You too. And I also want to express my concern that it's not mononucleosis, and that's just monophonic audio. Hope it's that. One of those nights. Okay. Yes, I was wondering, okay, I don't have a guest scheduled for tonight. A lot of people want me to discuss some issues about what's going on with the chemtrails. And so because of that, there's that delay again. That back. So I decided that that's good. Now it's gone. I decided that I was going to talk about toxins in the water, toxins in the food. And I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist, but I do understand metaphysics, and I have made it a point to understand what's going on with the foods that are being manufactured for us today. And I want to make some comparisons to God's manufactured foods and man's, attempts to modify these foods for purposes of making purposes of introducing
things that look a certain way or smell a certain way. You know, when we eat food, I think the appearance that many types of food take on through the processing that they go through has a lot to do with our consciousness. And we're really unaware of this when it progresses over a long period of time. When you're a baby, you know, maybe birthday is the best way to segue into this topic. You're a baby and you celebrate your first birthday and you're given a birthday cake. And it's a treat for everybody to see you smash this cake into your face and get it in your ears and your nostrils and in your hair and dropping it on the floor on your little high chair. Usually a baby picture is taken from a high chair when you're eating your birthday cake the first time. That is a momentous event, and everybody gets a charge out of seeing this happen. And there's a process to making a cake. Now, there is a recipe for making the cake batter rise when it's baked. And if you follow the recipe, you get a really nice-looking cake and a nice-tasting cake, depending on whether it's chocolate or vanilla, and you're using artificial or natural flavors. And when I say natural, I really mean natural, not the word they use today, because they meaning the food manufacturers and the companies that make some of these flavorings for the food manufacturers are permitted to use the word natural, and no one ever questions whether natural means a chemical or natural means a process that's been manipulated by man, and it's a word that sells. We get conditioned to accept artificial products, artificial flavors, artificial substances such as flavor enhancers. Flavor enhancers. I have to ask myself, what is so deficient about the Creator's creations, the foods, the vegetables and fruits have come to mind, first of all. Then we could get into sugars and that, and through the processing of sugar, it seems like the more it's processed, the worse it is for our health. An example would be refined white sugar or powdered white sugar versus, say, turbinado sugar, which is more in the form it's closer to a raw sugar cane, let's put it that way. And the people that live in the countries where sugar cane is grown actually consume sugar right out of the stalk in a raw form. I would think that if you're going to consume sugar, would be the healthiest way to do it. And that as we process it, or as the manufacturers process it, because we're not the ones doing the processing, we're the ones consuming it. It arrives to us in all these different foods, and in its packaged state as a powder in a box or in a bag that's glued at the top. We are getting something that is so modified that our body really can't do anything with it. And based upon what the rest of your diet is, for instance, if you're eating a diet high in carbohydrates and certain types of fats that are not easily burned by the body's metabolistic rate, everyone's rate of metabolism is different, so the same sugar affects everyone differently. Some people become very obese. The body stores the sugar, and it stores it as fat. It's kind of interesting that there are certain types of fats that are found naturally in foods and are good for us. They cause us to burn energy, and they cause our bodies to function in a more healthful way. And storing the wrong kinds of fats, or storing sugars which become fats stored in the body, are detrimental to our health. And it's been proven that certain types of fast foods in the, let's say, in the bread content of hamburger buns or sandwich buns or sandwich breads that are high in these additives that stretch the profit potential of these products while reducing the nutritional value of these products. Hamburgers, eating meat is one thing, and it is a preferential decision for each person. I guess if you want to consume another animal and you want to take into consciousness of the violent death that that animal probably experienced at the time it was led to slaughter, then you are going to take on some of those energies. And they manifest themselves in very interesting ways, from cancer to intestinal problems. I don't eat meat. I did at one point in my life, but I don't eat meat anymore, so I don't struggle with those issues. But many of the diseases we have are caused merely by the way the foods are brought to our table from the slaughterhouse, or in some cases, rendering plants. And what are rendering plants? These are not things that grow in the ground, but they are built on the ground. And it's where they take all the dead animals, the dead pets, anything that can be added to the foods that we give our dogs and our cats and other critters that we keep in cages in our homes, as food. It's called food, but it's not really food if it's got the fur, if it's got the injections that these animals may have been given throughout the course of their life. For rabies shots or for a parvo or any myriad of diseases that could affect those animals. Now, I've owned dogs that didn't get rabies shots in their life, and they never got rabies. I guess it's an issue of whether or not your animal is exposed to rabies. I wonder if it's really, really important for dogs to get rabies shots. We assume that because we're told that. You better get your dog a shot. That could be the inception of a whole series of diseases or a progression of diseases throughout your pet's life, just like people experience the same thing through many of the vaccines that we get. So we take for granted the things that we put in our body are going to nourish us, and that's not necessarily the case. You would think that the governing bodies such as the Food and Drug Administration or the Center for Disease Control, otherwise known as the FDA and the CDC, would make it a point to befriend the consumer, but they've decided to befriend the pharmaceutical companies and the chemical companies and the food manufacturers that are making tons of profit by watering down the food. They're watering down the food much in a manner that a drug dealer waters down the drugs that they sell. I think in the drug business, it's called cutting, where they take a substance and add it to the drug to make the drug have more volume. So if you have, let's say if it's a drug that's being sold by the kilo and they add a certain percentage of weight to that, if it ends up weighing a kilo and a half, they're going to end up with at least a 50% profit above what they would normally make just selling you the drug by itself. Now, when you do this in the food industry, it's really the same thing. If they're adding something like monosodium glutamate, which is supposed to be a flavor enhancer, it's the element that they add a lot. It's known in Oriental foods, and it does enhance flavors. But half an hour after you're done eating, you're hungry again because monosodium glutamate actually causes you to eat more than you normally would. In other words, you develop a craving for certain types of food. through the consumption of these additives that they put there. Flavor enhancers. So it enhances the flavor, but what it's causing you to do in reality is to crave something that you normally wouldn't crave. So you eat more than your body requires, and it becomes almost a psychological addiction, and probably in some cases, depending on what the food additive is, it actually is addictive. Any of you who have eaten, let's say, some kind of a caramelized popcorn with peanuts added may have that flavor enhancer in there, and you just keep eating it and eating it. Or potato chips that can do the same thing with all kinds of what we call finger food or finger snacks. And we don't really give it a whole lot of credence or a whole lot of attention until we reach a stage where none of our clothes fit, or we can't go to sleep, or we're constantly getting a cold, or some other illness, headaches, we develop digestive problems, then we develop further health problems like diabetes, where the body's ability to produce insulin has been thrown out of whack. Now, they've learned that they can induce this also through vaccinations. So the types of vaccinations that you get could very, very easily be laced with something that's going to be basically like a Trojan horse for your health as time goes on. You become sicker and sicker and sicker, but you don't notice it because it's very gradual. It's something that progresses very slowly. They know enough about DNA and how to modify DNA that they can induce these illnesses. Why would anyone do that? Well, that's a good question. I think ultimately, if we're all going to face our Creator, for those of us that have any sort of religious or spiritual convictions about the purpose of life, about the meaning of life, and why we're here, and what our mission is, and where we're going when we're done, then we're going to have to answer to these things. And some people put profit, and ultimately it's about greed, so that they can never have enough money. They can never be successful enough. And that is really based on the illusion of insufficiency. And ultimately, all illusions lead to the biggest one, which is the fear of death. So we think if we use this product, it's going to make us live longer. Or if we consume a certain product, it's going to change our lifestyle. Possibly even make us smarter or make us more successful or better looking. And we either attribute it to some ego-attached issue or a physical issue. And appearance is one of the major ones. Somehow, even though we know we all look different from each other, and sometimes it's just on the slightest level, you can have two people that look very much the same and be from totally different backgrounds, not related to one another. And yet somehow we're all related to each other. We all seem to have eyes and noses and mouths and ears. And most of us have hair somewhere on our body. We have skin. We have hearts and lungs and livers and spleens. And most of us do. Now, some of us are not so fortunate to be born with all of our internal organs intact. But it's more than just who we are physically, and it's our eternal connection that we have with the rest of the universe. That's the ultimate. Ultimately, we're all connected spiritually, and we're indivisible. Yet, through the experience of life, we have become individuations of spirit with personal identities that have a unique experience that eventually gets combined. Ultimately, when we rise to a level where we can be with the Creator. So how we take care of ourselves, we eat, and what we eat really has a lot to do with all of us interacting with each other. We can refuse to eat certain manufactured foods. For instance, I do not consume white sugar. at least consciously. Now, it may be in something that I eat without my knowledge. If I'm shopping, I make sure that I know the ingredients in something, and if I can't find what I'm looking for, I will make it. And I will use unbleached flour that's healthy for baking. And it's amazing how much better it is than most of what you can buy out on the market. Now, it's not convenient for everybody, and many people aren't inclined to even want to cook or to know how to cook or bake. And so you have an obligation, if you want to be healthy, to educate yourself about what you're eating. Your body's ability to support the requirements of a sound mind and ultimately to fulfill the intention of spirit and for you to fulfill your purpose here in the best way possible, you have an obligation to be healthy, both physically and mentally. But ultimately, your understanding and your reality is going to be in the spiritual realm. Here on the earth, your experience as an individuated spirit inhabiting a body, you are dependent upon the health of your body and the health of your mind. I know people that are pretty healthy, they get a headache and, oh, I gotta take a pill to make this headache stop. The medical community certainly knows what causes headaches, and they could suggest something that would stop the headache. And believe it or not, in most cases, it's more likely something natural than something manufactured in a laboratory. That's the whole concept behind herbs that heal. God has created everything we need on this planet, everything that our bodies and our minds could require to function properly so that we can ultimately carry out what are our spiritual missions. Now, if we fail to recognize what those things are, then we are described by those who do know what those missions and intentions and contracts, soul contracts are. We're considered to be less conscious or possibly even unconscious. So the goal would be to be conscious, to know the truth, to know who you are, and to know about yourself, to understand how you work. Your body will tell you what you require if you listen to it. It'll tell you, you know, today would be a good day for you to eat some vegetables or this particular kind of vegetable. And you may not have eaten asparagus, and for some reason you get a craving for asparagus. That's the soul's way of telling the mind and the body to think about eating asparagus. Or it could be broccoli, or it could be cauliflower, or spinach, or carrots, or beans. It really doesn't matter, as long as you are in tune with what spirit is telling you would be the thing to eat, and has a way of manifesting that into thought form, and it has a way of manifesting that into a physical, we'll use the word craving, or desire. A craving is a highly uncontrollable desire, I think, when you're craving potato chips. And we hear these stories about pregnant women, for example. They want to eat pickles and they want to eat ice cream. Well, that's their body's way of saying that a certain taste or a certain substance may contain what the fetus is craving, or what the mother's body is craving to be able to produce the right metabolism in the body to facilitate carrying a baby and ultimately giving birth successfully. We hear stories about women who smoke while they're pregnant, or women who do drugs while they're pregnant, or women who drink alcohol while they're pregnant. And before they're pregnant and after they're pregnant. And see, we develop these addictions because we attach social traditions and social acceptance to some of these things. Drinking alcohol is not a problem until you have an addiction and you can't stop drinking alcohol and you drink more alcohol than you're capable of handling. And so you become intoxicated, you become irresponsible. You can even kill someone driving a vehicle or causing some other kind of accident. And so we have these different levels of consciousness. And instead of trying to be conscious in knowing and being who we really can be, we modify who we can be with all these external substances, drugs. Alcohol, in that sense, is a drug. It's an addictive drug. The medical community makes its money by selling you things that really keep you sick. Now, I'm not speaking about the holistic doctors out there that are seeking natural cures or really sincerely keep seeking an end to whatever your problem is. Those that are seeking to make you well. Problem is, when you are well, they don't make money. That raises the question, how much money do they make or do they have to make until they don't make money? How many people do they have to cure until they stop making money? I would think that they could turn the business of healing into what it's really called. They're called healers. They take a Hippocratic oath to do what's best to keep you well and to keep you alive. And that has become giving you toxins, which they call medicines, which merely mask the symptoms and do nothing at all to curb the causes or to bring you to some realization as to what the cause is so that you can possibly just make a determination to stop consuming some other toxic substance that could allow your body to naturally heal itself by redeveloping a sound immune system, and by now allowing certain energies to flow through your bodies, because this toxin, whether it's a drug or alcohol or some food additive, has poisoned you to the extent that there's a healing that needs to take place in order to bring your body back to its original state. Assuming that you were born 100% healthy. Then we have this myth of we have to be vaccinated for the flu, because if we don't, everybody's going to get the flu. And then people come down with kidney trouble. Or if you're giving these vaccines to infants, they're developing autism in ever-increasing numbers and at alarming rates. My father once told me that he had some kind of accident at work, and he had to get a hepatitis shot. There was a danger of him getting hepatitis. And so, or I should say tetanus. I misspoke, not hepatitis, but tetanus. And the common vaccine for tetanus was made from a horse vaccine, and he had been given this vaccine when he was a young boy, before he even went into the military, and he developed an adverse reaction and nearly died from this vaccine. This doctor had never asked him, are you by any chance allergic to horse serum? And my father, just by the grace of God, actually asked the doctor himself, that isn't horse serum based, is it? And the doctor said, why? And he said, well, the last time they gave me one of those, I nearly died. And they said, if I ever got another tetanus shot that was based or derived from horse serum, that it would kill me. It makes sense. I mean, my goodness, it's horse serum. Finding what the cause of hepatitis is and eliminating the cause, what they do is they modify the effect we build up the antibodies within our system, only to come down with other diseases later on because these serums or these vaccines were not thoroughly tested, and I don't necessarily mean on people. They have the means through which to understand what these substances will do within our bodies. But there's money to be made by doing all kinds of testing and trial programs where they can figure out how many people are going to die compared to how many people are going to be protected or how many people are going to get well. We take these things for granted, but these drug companies are making so much money that they can weather a major lawsuit. And now it's gotten so crazy that the government actually protects these companies that they're not liable for the deaths that they cause. That's the perfect example of no one really taking the responsibility of their jobs in government or their responsibility to abide by the Hippocratic oaths that they take when they go into medicine or the legalistic oaths that they take to uphold the law when they go into law enforcement or become part of the legal system and even become judges. We have a rash of judges today that violate their oath, so there's really not much recourse that any of us have anymore because our constitutional rights have just been usurped to the point and bastardized to the point where they don't even exist anymore. There's a scapegoat for everything. So we come to the point where we must take individual responsibility for all these things. When you take responsibility for your karma in your life. In other words, the law of cause and effect, what you are going to pay, what price you're going to pay for your actions. If you're acting out of integrity, you're setting up good karma for yourself. You're not going to have to pay debts for the harm that you've caused others. And If you are doing the opposite and you're destroying lives, you're going to have a lot of karma to pay for that. And you are going to have to accept, if you're going to move onward into a higher consciousness, you're going to have to accept that there's some lesson to be learned and that there's a payment policy for that. Very different from the one established on Earth, by the way. Very, very different. So the people that are intentionally making others sick are going to have some karma to pay. The ones that are facilitating the laws to not have them pay the karma while they're here in this three-dimensional experiential world that we're all living in are going to have some karma to pay for the decisions that they made, especially when they profited financially from aiding and abetting those doctors and these sometimes sadistic programs to modify our foods, to modify drugs that really could help us. Now, there's some good drugs out there, but I think they're few and far between, and in general, drugs are toxic substances. In their more natural states, in the state of herbs or in certain types of foods even, there are examples of holistic ways to heal. We know that calcium or what's called coral calcium is beneficial to the human body in many ways, and in from the right source, it can actually slow down the aging process. Well, aging in an unnatural way induces more illness, and they would prefer that we don't use coral calcium because we'll be sicker and they can sell more drugs. That's if you buy into the drug concept, if you bought into that. If you're supporting the pharmaceutical companies to the tune of hundreds or thousands of dollars a month, they want you in their program for a long time. And they'll give you just enough of the toxin to keep you going. They don't want it to end. Eventually they do. If they didn't, they wouldn't poison you in the first place. So taking responsibility now should be your decision and your obligation to yourself. If you have a test to study in school, you can't expect another student in this school to take your test, nor can you expect that student to do your studying. You have to do it. You have to take responsibility to pass that test. You have a responsibility to learn the material. If you learned the material, and if they were teaching tangible material that really meant something, that empowered you, you wouldn't even have to be tested. You could demonstrate in a myriad of ways that you had grasped the concepts. And it would lead to creativity, most likely. You would invent something, or you would come up with some solution to a problem that would upraise the whole of mankind. But instead, because they want control, they have to be sure that you're capable of passing the test, to meeting a certain standard, because then they know that they can mold you like a piece of clay. Now, how do they get you to buy into the food thing or the medical thing, the pharmaceutical aspect? Well, they do it through repetition. They print on the tube of toothpaste, and I remember reading this when I was a little kid, and it was on the back of a Crest tube packet, a toothpaste tube. It said, Crest has been proven to be an effective decay-preventing dentifrice when used in a conscientiously applied program of oral hygiene and regular professional care. I think I memorized that around 7 or 8 years old. And I could repeat it again word for word, but that's what it said on the back of a tube of Crest toothpaste. Now, what is an effective decay preventative dentifrice? What is it? It's toothpaste. I mean, if you use it and brush your teeth, it's supposed to keep your teeth clean. But does it kill bacteria? No. Do they tell you that eating certain types of sugar harbors the bacteria that eat your tooth enamel? No. That's what causes cavities, in fact. They don't tell you that. They say, Crest has been proven to be an effective decay preventative dentifrice when used in a conscientiously applied program of oral hygiene and regular professional dental care. That's all they say about it. Well, you read the ingredients on the toothpaste, it has this magical ingredient called fluoride. And they put fluoride in other substances too. For instance, they put it in our drinking water. So if you're not using tap water to brush your teeth, you'll get it in the toothpaste if fluoride is in the toothpaste. If you're brushing your teeth with tap water as a rinsing solution, you are also going to be getting a lot more. And these days, even more so than 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 or 40 years ago. Now, where does fluoride come from? The fluorides in tap water come as a byproduct of the aluminum manufacturing process. And they have to get rid of this. So they discovered that they could pacify soldiers, they could pacify whole populations by putting this in the drinking water. In fact, they could make them totally oblivious or apathetic to what's going on around them. And so the ignorance of the chemtrail problem was born. And I know people today that still drink tap water. I know people that order drinks in restaurants. They order bottled water, Perrier or some other brand, Deer Lake, Aquafina. They had all these really interesting names. Some of these bottled water manufacturers actually put tap water in the bottles. That's been found, and hopefully it's been dealt with. So you don't even know when you're ordering bottled water if there's a certain amount of fluoride in there. Chances are there is. When you heat your tap water through a shower at a certain level, there's chlorine gas that's emitted, and that burns the skin, that burns the olfactory nerves, that when you breathe it in, it's actually, to some extent, burning your lungs and other internal organs that carry the chlorine through your bloodstream after it's gone into your lungs. We don't really think about these things, and it would seem like anyone that works for the city that doesn't stop that from working should be at least charged with intentional assault, premeditated assault. Because they're assaulting your health. Doesn't matter if it's their fist or fluoride. Really doesn't. I mean, it really could be considered attempted murder. They're putting a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing in your drinking water. And they're putting this in the schools for your kids to drink. They're not filtering the water at school. So we don't really pay attention to this, and we say, oh, I just can't believe my government would do that to me. They've been doing it for a long time. They did it in Nazi Germany before World War II. They've been doing it for a long time, folks. Now I see people in restaurants, they order their Perrier, and they ask for a glass of ice so they can chill the Perrier. Now, do you think somebody's in the back room there or by the waiter, waitress station where they prepare your salads and get your napkins and your silverware and your little packets of mustard or ketchup or sugar or mayonnaise, all the, you know, where they get your soups? And they prepare you little salads, and they get out all the salad dressings, and they prepare these side dishes for you that the chef can't be bothered with. You think someone's back there near that ice machine just dumping bottle after bottle of Perrier in there to make ice? No. That machine is hooked up that it automatically injects tap water into a system where the freezing goes on in the tray, and that ice is dumped into a bin, and again, as the weight changes, the water turns back on automatically, and more ice is made. Basically, all they have to do is get it out of the bin. They don't have to do anything else. That's tap water, and so it's got fluoride in it. So you're still getting your fluoride with your Perrier. Makes a lot of sense to drink Perrier and fluoride. And then go home and after you've eaten and brush your teeth with more fluoride in the toothpaste and in the water. But we don't think about the fact that we're doing it. We're in total denial about it. Now, today, we had a let up in my area. We had quite a bit of snow over the past few days, and it was pretty cold. It warmed up a little bit. Some of the snow melted. Still, there are ice, a lot of icy spots or places where the snow has drifted and it's getting slushy and refreezing, and that you've all seen that. And the clouds were kind of hazy. There was some breakup in the clouds. You could see a little bit of blue sky, but it was really gray looking more than blue. And I noticed chemtrails, hundreds of them. Boys, that they were busy. They were busy today and probably yesterday. And these were fresh chemtrails, and they were at different altitudes, some very low, some very high, all over the place. Not contrails, chemtrails. They were spraying large amounts of barium and ammonia and nanopolymers. Probably a little bit of anthrax and gold mixed in there. And we know at least on a routine average chemtrail day, there are at least six highly toxic substances, either of a bacteriological or viral origin in those chemtrails. And that's going to come down. You're going to breathe it in. You're going to get it on your shoes. You're going to drag it into your house. You're going to have it on your clothes, on your car. on your house. It's going to get into your furnace, into your air conditioning, in through the windows, in through the doors, even through the roof, down the chimney, even through some of the air vents that you have that are connected to your toilet. You know, when you flush a toilet, there's a pipe that runs all the way up through the top of your house. And that pipe causes air pressure to assist in the flushing process. So there's an exchange of air. And that air actually is sucked into the toilet and spews whatever's in the toilet up to 20 feet out of the opening of the toilet. I don't mean to sound gross here, but that's actually what's going on. And there's constantly an exchange of air. You can't have a completely airtight house and have it function properly. It's got to be able to breathe, and you've got to be able to get fresh air to come in. And it doesn't just happen through your air conditioning unit or your heating unit. There has to be a circulation of fresh air in your house, or the house suffers. It doesn't work properly as a house. So air is even connected to your disposal system. The toilet, of course. But we don't really think about that too much. And then you see people getting sick. I know people who are constantly having head colds, constantly in a state of some kind of bronchial attack. Just full-blown bronchitis or strep throat or stuffy nose, scratchy feeling throat, laryngitis, or just a general feeling of being fatigued and not feeling rested when they sleep. And they wake up in the morning and they have to drag themselves out of bed and they just feel miserable. And now they're in a lousy mood because they're sick. Their work performance goes down. They're unhappy about their work. They become stressed out about their work. People start to notice they're stressed out, and then they're confronted about being stressed out, and then they're in denial about being stressed out because if they get too stressed, they're going to lose their job. And so they have to find excuses for the inability to perform their job up to par. They have to find excuses for why they don't do certain things that they would love to do if they weren't feeling so tired or so sick. And just the demands of keeping up a family, paying the bills, we get focused on just what we're doing there. And we never make the connection. You know what? It might be the chemtrails have something to do with this. This is something that's been increasing over the last 10, 20 years in the United States. All over the country, people in certain areas seem to get more stressed out than other places. You know, I was in the Los Angeles area for quite a long time, and I thought the people were very lackadaisical when I first got there. They seemed very, very lazy and very apathetic to a lot of things. They liked to party, and they worked. The people in the music industry, the people in the movie industry worked hard. But they knew how to party, and their work was often sporadic. You might work 9 months on a movie or a year on a movie or 3 months on a movie, and then you're out of work until the next movie comes along or until your services in another project are required. You might work as the makeup person on 10 movies at the same time. Of course, it's difficult to spread yourself that thin because movies are produced in different locations and you'd be spending half your time traveling from one place to another. But I know makeup artists and I know production assistants that work on several projects at the same time. And they go through the stress of just meeting the obligation of being in the other place, even if there's not a lot of heavy work going on. But it never ceased to amaze me that anyone that could be that laid back about their work and about their lifestyle could be so stressed out on a freeway to the extent that they had to watch somebody change a tire on their car on the side of the freeway. And that it didn't bother anybody that the traffic was backed up 20 or 30 miles only to come to that bottleneck at the point where that man was still changing his tire. I think we're back on the air here. I don't know what you heard, but I was talking about the stress of the drivers and also the fact that these bottlenecks were caused, these bottlenecks on the freeway were caused by people subconsciously seeing death, or the fact that they thought they might be able to see death. In other words, why was this guy stopped on the side of the road? He was just changing his tire. No one was in an accident. There was no blood and guts to see. He was just on his back or on the side of the car, looking underneath, jacking up the car, tightening the lug nuts or loosening the lug nuts or reaching into his trunk to get out a spare tire. He was some part of changing a tire. That's all it was. But everybody had to slow down and rubberneck and look. And though the speed limits on the freeways were anywhere from 55 to 65 miles an hour, they had to slow down to 15 or 20 miles an hour to see this, to see if the man was bleeding, to see if he was hurt. Not because they were going to stop to help him, but they had to get a glimpse of a possible death situation. The fear of death is so great in people subconsciously that they don't even realize that they're reacting this way. And so every day of the week, 7 days a week, for 2 to 3 hours on your way to work, on your way to what might only take you 10 or 15 minutes to accomplish in no traffic, it would take you 3 hours. So you can be too laid back or you can be too stressed out that you just become completely dysfunctional. And I'd ask myself, what would happen if there was a nuclear explosion or some other major disaster? What would happen to the mindset of these people that act that way when someone has a flat tire on the side of the freeway? We are just so unconscious about what we do and how we are subliminally affected by our subconscious fear of death, by not taking responsibility for what we do. You see, because when you're in this state, when you're drugged or when you're filled with toxins, you are not making sound judgments. And you are not making judgments about spiritual matters, I can guarantee you. You may think you are, but in reality, you are making very low-quality judgments or judgments of a very, and I say judgments, I also mean decisions. I don't mean judgments in the sense of judging another person, but we do that too. I'm speaking more about a judgment about or a decision about what direction you're going to go or why you're doing something. I mean, your alarm goes off. Do you make a judgment when you shut it off? But you make a decision. Am I going to get out of bed or am I going to lie here? As you begin to contemplate how tired you are, you say, well, I just need 10 or 15 minutes more sleep. You made a judgment at that point. When you make your decision, I'm just going to lie here for another 10 or 15 minutes because that's going to be enough rest. Then you find you've overslept an hour or two in some instances. Not only have you made an improper decision, but you've misjudged what the appropriate action would have been. And so because of how you felt physically, you made a mental decision not to get up, not to take on the responsibility of whatever your day entails. If it's go to work or take your kids to school or feed your kids or take your mother to the doctor or take your mother to the store shopping or go shopping yourself, whatever your duties are. We tend to blame now the alarm clock for that. Or we blame some event that happened the day before that caused us to get to bed late. we don't blame necessarily the drinking that we did at the party, but we blame the fact that we stayed at the party longer than we should have. Or we blame the traffic jam that we got into on the way home from the party. Those traffic jams in L.A. occur all hours of the day and all hours of the night. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody should be home sleeping. And the freeway can be more jammed than it is in the morning during rush hour. So we're affected by all of the decisions we make about what we eat and the reasons we're eating what we eat, or our total ignorance, our total failure to pay attention to that. And so we become numb and dumbed down. That's what they want. They want, if you're going to control a whole society, a whole planet full of people, then you have to use every method at your disposal to make them unaware or unconscious of what you're doing to them. So they do this with fluoride, they do this with the food additives, they do it with the toxins that they put in vaccinations and virtually everything that they sell as a medicine or some kind of remedy, whether it's for a headache, a cold, arthritis or sore joints, sore muscles, cuts, bruises, doesn't matter. Whatever happens to the body, they've got a medicine for it. They should start calling it a toxin because most of them are toxins. Let me prescribe a toxin for you, Mr. Nikoloff. And I guarantee you, you'll be feeling better tomorrow. It doesn't make sense. They don't use that language. And if I don't feel better tomorrow, or I don't feel better in a week or 2 weeks, then I must be doing something wrong. It's not the medicine. It's not the doctor. It's me. It's the patient. It's the problem. And so I get blamed for what they do. Now, I can certainly blame myself for not making myself aware of what they do. There's taking responsibility. But then you have to take it a step further and act upon it. Educate yourself as to what food supplements or what food substances you should be consuming in a natural state. Many people who eat vegetables, you vegans out there, or vegetarians, know that any foods you can eat in a raw state, any natural foods, are going to be healthier for you in the long run. Not all foods have to be cooked. Some taste better. Some are easier to digest by being cooked. Potatoes are an example. But then potatoes are carbohydrate. I'm having trouble talking this evening. Carbohydrates can build up in your system. Remember, in excessive quantities or in the wrong form, carbohydrates cooked or baked in oil and the wrong kind of oil is a double whammy. It's like a double barrel shotgun. Especially when they have the flavor enhancers on them and excessive amounts of salt. So what you put in your body has a direct impact on what goes into your mind, and vice versa. What goes into your mind, the advertising, definitely has an effect on what you put in your body. Your kids are watching cartoons, and you're not paying attention to the fact that they're being mind-controlled incessantly. In an hour's program, they can have easily 20 minutes of commercials, causing them to desire certain fast foods, certain candies, and then the mental and psychological diversions, the toys that really destroy their ability to make rational decisions, and teach them how to allow others to dictate what path they should take, and instead of getting in touch with their higher self, with their soul. That's not all parents that are that way. Some parents refuse to allow their kids to watch TV. Some families don't even own TVs anymore. And so their kids are filling their minds with pure thoughts, creative thoughts. If someone is not controlling your mind, you instantly open up the opportunity to creativity or to creative thought. And if you're not programmed to desire to own a toy or to desire to go out and eat some kind of fast food because they tell you it's fun or because there's a clown that's associated with it, then you have a chance of creating a new reality. But they have to be doing that to you to control you, and to allow your kids to be in that state is not taking responsibility. You are being irresponsible. And you're teaching your kids how to be apathetic, and you're condoning the mind control. You're condoning the intentional toxification of the immune system when you don't do your homework and you allow them to force you to give your kids vaccines, and you know nothing about what the vaccines are for. And I would suggest that if we were in a pure a state of mental and physical reality on this planet, and we weren't just trying to profit from the misfortune of others, we probably wouldn't have diseases on this occasion. A cry for help that something is wrong on this planet. And we have even government labs that are making new diseases. They're making new diseases, and these are known to the Center for Disease Control. They're known to the FDA, despite their proclamations that they're concerned about consumer safety and the health of the population and the welfare of the population. That's a bunch of bunk. They're as deeply involved in the manufacture of these diseases and these toxins as the very labs that are creating them. And they assist in the funding of these labs. And they do it through lobbying the politicians. And they set up the laws so that no one is culpable for it. We must take responsibility individually, ourselves. Until we do that, we are not going to know the higher things there are to know. Because there's, as Dr. Horowitz was describing in the show before me, through music and through the wonders of the universe, there are many things for us to learn, many things for us to know. In fact, we already know them, but our senses and our abilities, our natural gifts, have been dimmed or dulled to the extent that we've forgotten those things. But the moment that we make a decision to turn that around, we'll begin to lift our vibration individually and then consciously, and we'll come to understand the importance of love, and we'll come to understand the importance of the math in the creation, and it's a sacred math, and the math in the universe, and the music, the sound of the spheres, and our relationship to the Creator. We will come to remember those things. We don't have to be taught those things. It's in us already. God said it in His Word. Just by speaking the Word, He made that so. But our unconsciousness of it is what's caused our demise. Pay attention to your skies, those of you who have any blue in the sky. And you can even see this at night now. On a starry night or when the moon is out, you can see the chemtrails at night. It's incredible. They're poisoning us, and you can see it in real time, and it's amazing how many people are in denial about it, just like they're in denial about their fear of dying. Now, I mentioned chemtrails not to have you worried about dying, but to say, hey, someone's trying to kill you. Are we going to allow that to happen? Are we going to become so dumbed down and so insensitive and so unconscious about what's going on in, on our world and in our world that we're not going to see the point creeper sneaking in our bedroom window or the front door of our house? Because in essence, that's what they're doing. Shame on the government. Shame on the shadow government and the cabal that's profiting from this. Shame on the airline industries and the military for outfitting these planes that are spraying these aerosol plumes called chemtrails in the sky. Part of their mission is to shut off the divine energy coming to this planet. They think by putting up a mask or a shield or a veil in the sky that that's going to stop it from happening. They're just making heavier karma for themselves. The debts they're going to have to pay are really something. And you know, you've heard the expression, somebody's dumber than a box of rocks. I think they're going to be below the consciousness of a rock or an empty box of rocks. They're going to have to suffer through such a backward state of consciousness that they're going to be repaying for all the loss of life and the destruction of what is sacred, or their attempts to destroy what is sacred. Till they finally get the message. And I will have no pity for them, because I've been sounding the alarm like I did tonight. Hopefully someone will hear it. Hopefully you will begin to experience sound health and a sound mind and get in touch with spirit. And I've overstayed my welcome tonight a little bit, but we spent some time with Dr. Horowitz at the beginning of the show. And again, I want to wish Don Newsom a very happy birthday and thank him and Seth for getting the sound together and keeping me on the air tonight. Even though they like to play games with our communications, we always get the message out. I look forward to tomorrow evening. And want to thank you for visiting me here on Evident Footprints. I'm Don Nikoloff. I'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a nice night or good morning. Peace, love, and light. Happy birthday, Don.